are now listening to the Legends Lingo Podcast, presented by CouchGuysSports.com. Here are your hosts, Al.
You didn't ask him about that long?
I was getting there, Beetle.
What the fuck kind of host are you? I mean, you're
Beetle,
burying the lead.
Shit, dude. Someone Chris is... him, please.
Powder.
Yes, sir.
And Maddie D.
And on top of that, now you have a triple effect. You have the Niners looking for a long-term answer with Jimmy G in-house. Maybe they don't want to spend the money on Jimmy G. Maybe he gets freed up because they go after a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, who now theoretically could be freed up. So there's a lot of dominoes to fall.
Enjoy the show.
All right, everybody. Welcome back in Legends Lingo Podcast, episode 178, as always presented by CouchGuysSports.com. Check out everything on CouchGuysSports.com, from the podcast to the written work, the YouTube, the Twitch, and everything else in between. Alan Nahegan here alongside Tom Powder Cadmus, who has a birthday coming up.
Yes, sir.
We just talked off air literally 2 seconds before we recorded what Powder was going to do. So, Powder, you want to tell all the folks where you're going to be?
Yeah, on my actual birthday on Sunday, I'll be at the Who Sox with my amazing fiance who's taking me there for the day. So should be a good time.
How much did she smile right there when you said that?
A lot.
Yeah. For those that can't see it, Powder has his fiance just like, I don't know what she's doing. She's probably chilling it on the couch or in the chair. I don't know what it is, but so
on the couch.
So there you go. So he has to earn the brownie points. It's okay. We understand. We all have to do that sometimes, but a lot of Boston sports stuff to talk about. Bruins finally have a head coach. Celtics finally make some moves. The Red Sox are finally driving us nuts. And we finally are going to get this ad read right because, as always, the Legends Lingo Podcast is brought to you by Shocked Energy, otherwise known as Shocked Hydrate. Have you ever felt unable to focus, you're tired, or you're just low on energy? We understand that feeling. We understand it so well that, of course, the Legends Lingo Podcast is brought to you by the Couch Guy Sports Network and sponsored by our friends over at Shocked Energy. Shocked Energy is a drink made by gamers for gamers. All their flavors come packed with 180 milligrams of caffeine to ensure that no matter what you're doing, your focus will always be razor sharp to keep you performing at the top of your game. Their formulas are designed to specifically give you high energy boosts when you need it most while ensuring to avoid the jitters after too much caffeine consumption. Head on over to ShockedEnergy.com and use the promo code CGSN today for 10% off your order. Check out their green apple flavor as well as their watermelon flavor. And don't worry, they ship worldwide. Powder, random country.
Italy,
Japan, wherever you may get this podcast, Shocked Energy ships worldwide, people. Get your Shocked Energy today. Help us help you gain your focus back and your energy back. 10% off, ShockedEnergy.com, promo code CGSN, all capitalized, at checkout. So we'll make this quick, this first thing. Bruins hire head coach Jim Montgomery, used to be head coach of the Dallas Stars. And I'll just say this, because this is going to be a really quick thing. Good hire by the Bruins, especially for the younger guys, because he's known to have a good relationship with the younger players as well as get along with veteran guys. David Quinn was another name from the New York Rangers that was linked to being the Bruins head coach. But I think Montgomery was the far and away best choice. Great hire by the Bruins. Hopefully when Brad Marchand and Charlie McAvoy and all those guys are healed and ready to go, the Bruins will actually be able to be a playoff team and make a deep playoff run. So really fast. Jim Montgomery hired. Good hire. Need we say more?
No, I think just who are – obviously, everybody knows I don't follow hockey too much, and I just think the Bruins need someone who can relate to the older guys but also bring the younger guys along, because I think in another year or two, it's going to be a completely new core with the Bruins. So – someone who can relate to those players.
1,000%. Because listen, Patrice Bergeron's on a 1-year contract. You know, Marchand's getting older. Pasternak, we don't know if he's going to extend his contract. So we don't know what this team's going to look like after the 2022-2023 season. So hopefully Montgomery's the guy that can help with that rebuilding process and retooling, whatever the Bruins want to call it. And hopefully he sticks around for the long term and won't be booted out at the end like Bruce Cassidy was. So we'll see what happens. But Jim Montgomery, now officially the head coach of your Boston Bruins.
Yep.
Let's talk about that other Celtics. Oh, I just gave it away. That other Boston winter sports team, the Boston Celtics. So the Boston Celtics in free agency made two big moves, one free agency signing and one trade. The free agency signing, they went out and signed forward Danilo Gallinari, 2 years, $13 million contract. That will fit into the, I believe it's the mid-level exception that they have. And then the big move was a trade with the Indiana Pacers to get guard Malcolm Brogdon. And in return, the Celtics gave away Aaron Naismith, Daniel Tice, Malik Fitz, Juwan Morgan, Nick Stauskas, and a 2023 first-round pick. All to get Malcolm Brogdon in here. So when I see these two moves, I'm a big fan of both of them for a couple reasons. First of all, Malcolm Brogdon, great playmaking point guard. He's a guy that can score it. He's a guy that can assist it. I think last year he averaged like 19, 6, and 5 on an Indiana Pacers team that was rebuilding. And in past years, when he was with Milwaukee, he's averaged over 20 points a game. So he's a guy that if he's a bench guy for you, that's a really good bench guy to have right there. And it can even create some options if Marcus Smart's having a bad game.
19 points this year, 19 points per game, 21 points per game the year before. Let me find assists. Basically, a little under six assists per game the last 2 years, seven the year before then, 19, 20.
So there you have it. So Malcolm Brogdon is a guy that you bring him in here. He's a guy that can shoot from the outside. He's a guy that can help run the offense. And we kind of saw the Celtics needed that, right? Especially in the finals, because once Marcus Smart came out, like Derek White was okay with kind of running the offense. But now you have another guard in Malcolm Brogdon that can help you with bench scoring and everything else. And speaking of bench scoring, Danilo Gallinari, that's exactly what he's going to be brought in here to do. He's a guy that can shoot from the outside. He's a career 38% three-point shooter in the NBA. He's a guy that can definitely, I don't want to say take over because he's not the type of guy that can take over, but he's a guy that can steady the scoring on your bench, especially when Jason Tatum needs a breather or Jaylen Brown needs a breather or whatever it may be. So these are two moves that I really love, and I think they really deepen the Celtics' rotations, especially you got rid of Daniel Tice and Aaron Naismith. Aaron Naismith barely played in the regular season and the playoffs. Daniel Tice was basically a bench guy after the first round against the Nets. He wasn't really used much after that. So you got Malcolm Brogdon without giving up any of your key core guys. That's a win in my book. Powder, your overall thoughts on bringing in Malcolm Brogdon and Danilo Gallinari?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. The Celtics need some guys off the bench, like you said, that can give Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum a break when they need a breather or something like that. So having a guy who can shoot the three and, like you said, Diego, however you say his name, I'm just looking up.
Danilo Gallinari.
Yeah. He can definitely have a guy who can shoot the three that can come off the bench. That's big. Like you said, giving up Tice and Pritchard for that.
Tyson Naismith. That's okay.
Sorry. That definitely helps like round out the bench. And I think the Celtics aren't done. I think there's a few more moves they might make throughout the offseason to kind of round out their bench. I think they definitely need a couple more, at least one or two more big men to kind of get rebounds off the bench and solidify that bench further. But I think these two pieces will definitely help them going forward.
I do too. And I also think that you're onto something with two things. First of all, Peyton Pritchard is a guy to keep an eye on these next couple of weeks, because if you have, you're not going to trade Marcus Smart. You just brought in Malcolm Brogdon. Derek White, you spent, I think, two first round picks on, if not at least one.
Yeah.
And you had to give up Josh Richardson in that deal and Romeo Langford. People forget that those two players were involved in that deal as well. So with that being said, right, Peyton Pritchard's kind of the odd guy out right now, because with Smart and Brogdon and Derek White, those are going to be the three guards that are going to play a lot. And then you have Jaylen Brown that's probably going to play a lot of the two guard, maybe the three. It kind of depends on what they want to do. Do they want to go with the two big system again and have Al Horford play significant minutes at the age of 37 or 38? Or do they want to try to rest him and they go a little smaller, but they go with Rob Williams at the five, then they go Tatum, Brown, say, you know, Brogdon and Smart.
Yeah.
You know, so there's options there. And with the bigs, you had a chance to sign Thomas Bryant out of Washington. He went to the Lakers. It is what it is. But there's a couple names that are enticing out there for that backup center role. And don't forget, the Celtics have that $17.4 million trade package exception for when they traded Evan Fournier before last season. So with that, there's a couple names that you look at. You can look at DeMarcus Cousins. You can look at LaMarcus Aldridge. You can look at Aaron Baines, who's working out for NBA teams in Las Vegas after kind of having an injury the whole year. There are names out there. If you can get one more guy, and it's a big, I think it's a big that you need. If you can get one more guy, then you feel like, wow, the Celtics really have a shot at going back to the finals, maybe even winning it next year. With that rotation of Tatum, Brown, Rob Williams, Marcus Smart, Al Horford, and then you obviously have Brogdon, Derek White, Danilo Gallinari, and whoever else you want to add in. That's a good eight right there. You can add another one or two guys. You got something.
Definitely.
So we'll see. I think that another move is going to be made before the end of the summer, but we will see. And there's a couple guys down in Maine with the Maine Celtics that are playing summer league. Sam Hauser's a guy that they signed to a 3-year deal. They believe in him. Luke Kornet, they signed to a 2-year deal. They obviously believe in him if they're willing to bring him on for another couple of years. So there's pieces that could be in place, but at the same time, it's also, could there be another move in free agency to really, you know, to kind of extend what you're doing right now in Boston, as Powder sneezes his little heart away.
Yeah.
You good over there?
I'm good.
Okay. So the Celtics, there's a lot that can happen. I don't know what's going to happen exactly, but they're in a really good spot right now. They didn't settle. They went on and got better with those two moves. They got a lot better while getting rid of all your bench guys.
Yeah.
Props to Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
Okay. We will get into the Red Sox because there's a lot to talk about the Red Sox. But before that, quick shout out to our friends over at Exogun. 10% off your massage therapy gun needs at exogun.com with the code CGS, all capitalized, 10, the numbers. So CGS10. Whether you're podcasting, whether you're running a baseball tournament or coaching a baseball tournament, you might need a massage at the end of the day. Get it without even having to leave the house. Exogun.com. And actually, I found my Exogun. And here's there you what go. It looks like. Looks very, very good. It's good for a massage too. So go check it out. We also have our friends at A&B Kitchen and Bar that Powder's going to talk to us about real quick. Powder?
Yep. Our friends at A&B Kitchen and Bar, like we're just talking about the Bruins and Celtics, but obviously they're in the off season right now. But if you're going to the Garden for a concert or whatever reason, you're in Boston near the Garden, if you want a very good bite to eat, go to A&B Kitchen and Bar right across the street on Causeway Street from the TD Garden. Their elevated take on traditional New England pub menu with locally, everything's local. Like their meat is local, their beers are local, everything's local. So if you want good bite to eat right by the Garden, go to A&B Kitchen and Bar.
Shout out to our friends at A&B Kitchen and Bar. All right, the Red Sox, they continue to be a team that's just so frustrating to try to figure out. So the Red Sox are entering one of the hardest stretches of the season.
Definitely.
They just played the Rays in a 3-game series, dropped 2 out of 3 to them. They have a 4-game series this weekend at Fenway against the Yankees. And as we're recording,
which is starting very, very good for the Red Sox.
Yep. They're down 5-0. Josh Donaldson hit a grand slam in the third inning, followed by an Aaron Hicks home run right after. So a grand slam and home run back to back. Red Sox are down 5-0.
Great.
Yep. Fantastic. So there's kind of three big things that I want to hit on. The first thing is the Red Sox as a whole. And I'm just going to ask you this, Powder, and feel free to just let it all out. How do you feel about this Red Sox team at this current moment?
I feel like they played their bad stretch of teams, like the teams that were bad, very, very well. They did their job, but now that they're playing good competition, we're seeing how they truly are. They're an average team. They're going to be... Hopefully they go a little bit above 500, maybe 85, 86 wins. But, and I listened to, shout out to our friends, Jared Carrabas and Dallas Braden, baseball is dead. There might be 4 teams from the AL East that make the playoffs. If that is the case, I think the Red Sox squeak in, but they are, I think, a 86-8, like I said, 85, 86 win team, a little bit above 500. When they play better competition, the better teams in the league, they struggle, but they do their job against besides the Orioles, everybody else who is not that good, I feel like they win a lot of the games they should win, but against teams that they need to beat to be true contenders, they don't beat.
And I'm glad you just said that, because here's the thing. The Orioles are in that AL East. And normally they're the team that, you know, was supposed to be the cupcake team, the team that you take care of business against. But guess what, Powder? The Orioles in a couple of years are going to be really good, because they have some good prospects. The catcher, Adley Rutschman. Adley Rutschman, one of the top prospects in baseball, switch hitting catcher, really, really good. The Orioles are going to be good in a couple of years, people. I don't care what anybody says. They can laugh at my take if it's that bad. But guess what? The Orioles are coming. The Blue Jays are slowly becoming a team that everybody loves to watch before our very eyes. The Yankees are having a historic year. Like, that's the way you have to describe the Yankees.
They have a legitimate shot breaking the wins record.
Legit. 100% legit. And then you have the Rays that, you know, I think they're a little down this year, but they're still better than the Red Sox. And they proved it. You know, my whole thing is this. You're 45-37 on the year right now. If it continues to be how it is right now, you're going to be 45-38. So let's say you're 45-37. Your record in the AL East is 9-18. You know what? The rest of the league, Powder, they are 36-21. No, sorry, 36-19.
Yep.
That's what they are. They're 36-19. So that's pretty good. You're winning two-thirds of the games that you should be winning out of the AL East. But guess what? And shout out, I'm going to give a shout out to a different podcast, the Carrabas Pod with Jared Carrabas and Tyler Milliken that talks Red Sox. 20% of their season, they have 80 games left. 16 of them, Powder, are against the Yankees. That's not good.
No.
And you still have to play the Rays a bunch. You still have to play the Jays. You got the Guardians mixed in there. But, like, this is the make-or-break time for this Red Sox team. And I hate to say it, but I think they're going to break. Which leads into kind of my next thing that I want to talk about, Chris Sale. So Chris Sale had his final outing in Worcester on Wednesday night, went 3 2/3 innings, had 5 walks, not great. 5 strikeouts, pretty good. And then he had a meltdown that was kind of caught in the tunnel, which it is what it is. Like, you're going to get frustrated after a bad start. Like, I think people are overreacting when they're like, oh, he's so overreacting.
I saw on, I forget what social, what Instagram account it was, but Adam Jones, remember Adam Jones from the Orioles?
See, when you say Adam Jones now, I think 98.5 Adam Jones, who was just like a, he's like a stick in the mud to me. Yeah. I shouldn't say he's a stick in the mud, because if we ever interview him, that would come up bad. That would look bad. Bad takes exposed. Yeah. But I know what you mean. Adam Jones just played for the Orioles. Yes, continue. Yep. I'm sorry.
He commented saying, like, the clubhouse is, like, sacred. People shouldn't be videoing that. Like, he was saying that a lot of people's favorite players probably have done that and you just don't know about it. And I agree. Like, once you step down from the dugout where it's kind of enclosed, I think no one should video that. That should be, because you and I both know we're both competitors, both played baseball at a decently, you played a little bit higher level than me, but
I sat at the bench at the higher level, but they continue.
We both coach and everything like that. And sometimes when my players get mad, I don't say anything because I know that they have to let it out somehow and there's a way to let it out right. And I think Chris Hill just let out his frustration because think about it, he's been hurt since 2019 off, even 2018, the year the Red Sox won the World Series. He wasn't like Dallas. Obviously, I think you listen, baseball is dead, but Dallas Braden makes a joke about planned off days, like schedule off days. But he was hurt throughout that year too. He had a great year in 2018, but still was hurt throughout it. And then since 2019 has been basically hasn't been pitching for the Red Sox all that much. So I can see where the frustration comes because he's a real type A competitor that wants to be out there and hates that he's hurt and can't be out there trying to help the Red Sox win.
And you think about it too, right? Let's just look at the last 3 years of Chris Sale. 2020 COVID year, didn't play, had Tommy John. Fine. Great. That I didn't even care about that. 2021, he comes back in August, pitches decently. I think in 9 starts, and I'm quoting Tyler Milliken here, he had like a 3.16 ERA or 3.21. It was low threes for his 9 starts. and did okay in the playoffs. And then, you know, he comes into this year and he's got the rib problem or whatever it was.
Yep.
And he's out for the first half of 2022. So I understand the frustration, but I also understand the frustration of the fan base, because this is a guy that's supposed to be your ace. This is the guy that you signed to be your ace for 5 years. And for three of the years, you know, he's injured or, you know, missing a majority of the season, and people don't want that. And by the way, Rafael Devers hit a 2-run home run. So it's 5-2 Yankees. So at least it's competitive. Yay. Woo. But
vote Devers.
Yep. Vote Devers. Hashtag vote Devers. But with Chris Sale, I guess I'm just worried about the fact that, yeah, he had 5 walks. I know it's Triple A, but there's kind of 2 ways to look at this, right? There's the first sense of you take a look at the pitching staff right now for the Red Sox, and it's Nick Pivetta, Connor Siebold, Josh Winkowski, Cutter Crawford, and then Brian Bayo, who we're going to talk about in a second. Yeah. So, you know, because Sale's injured, Rich Hill's injured, Michael Wacha has dead arm, Nathan Eovaldi's finally going to be on a rehab stint on Friday. So there's a lot that's going on here. You need Chris Sale. On one hand, you need Chris Sale back in that rotation, but on the other hand, are you willing to have a Chris Sale that in AAA walked 5 guys? That is concerning.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely was concerning seeing him walk a lot of guys, but like we just talked about, he's been injured off and on. So I think getting to the higher levels, the hitters again better. He has to get back to his old shape where he was pinpoint in hitting spots. So I think, again, the Red Sox, and like you said, the Red Sox rotation isn't what it should be. Like, hopefully come August, we have a lot of the pieces back. But like we talked about earlier, I don't think the Red Sox are going to be that good of a team, especially their rotation struggles, like you just said.
And not only that, too, right? Like, yes, the rotation, if they struggle, that's one thing. But the rotation, for the most part, Powder, even these guys like Winkowski and Siebold and Crawford, they've come in and they've done their job. The offense, where's this offense been that's supposed to be a top 5 offense? You know, Devers hit a home run tonight, but he was kind of in a little bit of a lull. Xander Bogaerts hit a little bit of a power struggle from, you know, from a power standpoint at the plate. JD Martinez looks like he's going back into his old declining ways in the, you know, middle to second half of the season. So that's your 2-3-4, 3-4-5 right there. Yeah. Trevor Story's hitting barely above 200. He's in like the 220s. You know, so where is this offense? You know, and that's the thing, you know, and we're going to talk about this in a second, but now Brian Bayo, top Red Sox pitching prospect, above average fastball, above average changeup, very good slider, got hit for, you know, 5-6 runs against the Rays in only 4 innings in his major league debut in the rubber game in the 3-game series. So now you got the Adam Jones of 98.5s of the world and Ted Johnson's and everybody else overreacting, saying this 4 guy's a
runs bomb. Over 4 innings, 3 walks, 2 strikeouts, 6 hits.
There you go. So what'd you say it was? 3 walks?
3 walks, 4 hits, 2 strikeouts, and 4 runs in 4 innings.
Okay. So 4 runs, 4 innings. That's the main thing right there. And in the first inning, you give up, he gets a fly out to start the game. Then he gives up a double, and then he gives up an RBI single. So now you're down 1-0 right away. It's not a good look because the Red Sox have been falling behind lately. Yeah. And notice too, you had the chance to beat Toronto. You should have beaten Toronto 2 out of 3. You didn't. You could have beaten the Rays 2 out of 3. You didn't. And it's leading into all this talk. Like, Brian Bayo is a guy that, no offense to him, he's done real well, like in Portland AA and in AAA Worcester. That's where he should be right now. He should not be up with this rotation yet. He's 23 years old. He's still a work in progress. I think he's going to be really good.
Yep.
But because of all the injuries, you had to call him up. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. When 4 of your 5 starters are out, you know, the picking's kind of thin there. You know, what else were you going to do? So
nothing
I don't know.
Else more you can do.
They're right. There's nothing else you can do. Do you still believe in Brian Bayo? Because I do.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He's fine. Like, if he has 2 or 3 bad starts in a row, then it's like, okay, you might want to bring the kid back down, get his confidence back, and everything else. Like, he's slated to start in Tampa Bay on Monday. So, and Chris Sale is slated to start on Tuesday. So if you have Bayo and Sale both in that rotation, hopefully Nathan Eovaldi comes back, and then hopefully, you know, Rich Hill will be back, and then Michael Wacha. Then you actually have your rotation in stone, and then you don't have to worry about all these guys making starts, because then you'll have Chris Sale, Nathan Eovaldi, Nick Pivetta, Rich Hill, and Michael Wacha. And that's your rotation. And then when James Paxton comes into the picture, maybe he can be a sixth starter if you ever need him, or you can put him in the bullpen, whatever.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of options there. But Brian Bayo is somebody that I'm excited about, and everyone else should be excited about too. And if you're overreacting about one start, then you've never watched the game of baseball before in your life. I mean, you haven't.
No.
John Lester was bad in his first start. Clay Buchholz was a guy that started off well and didn't have that great of an MLB career.
Yeah. What did he have his no-hitter, like seven starts into his career?
Not even that much. I think it like three starts in, something like that. You had Henry Owens that was supposed to be this next like amazing left-handed pitcher. The guy was a bum.
Yep.
And then you had a guy like John Lester that started off slow, but then look at him. He had a borderline Hall of Fame career for the Red Sox, maybe even in the MLB. Who knows?
Yep.
So that's why it just drives me nuts when after one start, we're ready to judge him. Like, there were some good things there. The changeup was there. The fastball was there. The slider's going to be there. So there are things to be happy about. But this Red Sox team right now, Powder, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much are you kind of panicking about where they're going to be?
I think I'm like a 6.5. I think I'm almost there where I'm truly panicking. Like, I don't think this is going to be a good season. But I think if they can play well down the stretch against some of the lesser teams, I think they can make a little bit of a run. But this stretch they have right now is just relentless. Like you said, the Yankees, I think they have the Astros mixed in, the Guardians, the Rays. Like, they do not have an easy schedule. I'm looking at it now real quick.
They play Guardians, the Yankees, even and the Rays, Brewers, 14 times.
Even the Brewers, they have the Astros to begin August right after the trade deadline. Like the Royals, hopefully they can. That's a 4-game set at Kansas City. Hopefully they can take 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. But then then Atlanta comes to town for 2 games. Then Baltimore's 1. Then the Yankees back in town. They're at Pittsburgh, so hopefully that's a 3-game sweep. But Pittsburgh, they're not. Like, obviously, the Yankees just throttled them. O'Neal
Cruz, dude.
But O'Neal Cruz, do you see that picture of him and Judge?
Oh, it's unbelievable. The dude is an absolute stud.
Yep. So, their schedule, I do not see a stretch of games. They have a couple series that they could win. But I don't see a stretch of – okay. The first stretch of games, they should bounce back. That September 16th through the 21st, they have Kansas City at home. Then they go to Cincinnati.
But even that, but even that's toward the end of the season. That's the problem.
But that's what I was trying to say is not until then we see a stretch of 2 series in a row that the Celtics – or how?
Red
wow,
Sox,
I just okay. said the Celtics.
Yeah, a championship team, I get it.
Yeah, the Red Sox should win like 2 series in a row. That's the next time that legitimately, like, you look at, that's 2 kind of easy series in a row. Like I said, the Royals are mixed in. Like, there's a couple teams. The Pirates are mixed in here and there, but there's not anything you're looking at like, oh, my God, the Red Sox have a chance to get on a hot streak.
And that's the thing is, and I think you said it beautifully, this is a tough stretch for them. They have the Yankees and the Rays 14 times. Still got to play the Jays. You got to play the Guardians again. You have to play the Astros. Like, there are a lot of good teams.
They have a 3-7 with the Brewers. The Brewers are – that pitching staff is one of the best in all of MLB. They're – I don't think they're leading the NL Central, but they're right there for the NL Central. So,
right. And I'll say this. This is going to be a very bold take right here. But if the Red Sox have a really bad stretch here, like, let's say they play 20 games and
The Brewers are ahead of the Cardinals in the NL Central. So
there you go. If the Red Sox go like 6-14 in these next 20 games, something like that. Excuse me. I'm going to go out on a whim and say that Xander Bogaerts gets traded.
I can see that if they're, excuse me, have a losing record or they're just about two or three games above 500 and they know they're not going to see the playoffs, let's kiss Xander Bogaerts goodbye.
Yep. And that's the problem, you know, is we're thinking about our guys, our cornerstone guys potentially leaving the organization. Yep. Like Rafi Devers, a guy that we literally said, vote Devers for the All-Star game. He's going to start at third base probably in the All-Star game. Like, if you're not going to pay Xander, why don't at least take care of Devers? Definitely. So you have your third baseman long-term. Like, are we running this like the Tampa Bay Rays or, you know, the Oakland A's? Like, what's the deal here?
I know when we have such bigger pockets than they do. And
exactly.
Go out and spend the money.
Go spend the money. If you have to get JD Martinez contract off the books because he's going to be gone after this year anyway, wave him goodbye. Thank you for 2018. You were great here, but guess what? You know, you're starting to decline. You're 34, 35 years old. You can go elsewhere. You know, and I like JD Martinez. I think he's a really good hitter, but, you know, he's starting to fade. You know, it's amazing to me how this team, we talk about them like they're a rebuilding team.
I know.
And they're like 8 or 9 games above 500. And they're right. I think they're in the first wild card spot or second wild card spot. It's nuts. But I digress. Is there anything else the Red Sox you want to talk about?
Not really. They're tied for the first wild card spot with the Rays.
Okay, so there you go. So they're tied for the first wild card spot. Like, they need to be able to take care of business. You're starting to get healthy. Sale will be healthy. Garrett Whitlock will be healthy. Eovaldi will be healthy. Josh Taylor will be healthy. So that helps your rotation in your bullpen. Kike Hernandez, another guy that will help you, especially like if Trevor Story needs a day off. But I'll tell you what, start Kike Hernandez in right field and say goodbye to Jackie Bradley, because as great defensively as Jackie Bradley is, he can't hit.
And it saves life. Never really could.
Never could, you know, and I'll never understand. Like, I do understand, but at the same time, I'll never understand why they traded away Hunter Renfro for Jackie Bradley in a prospect. I think that was a bad move, but it is what it is. So I don't know. I digress, but keep listening week after week. We will be focusing on the Red Sox heavily for the month of July, especially because there's no other sports right now. And especially because they're the only thing that we can watch. And the Patriots haven't started up yet for training camp. So we'll go from there. But anything else, Powder, before we kind of wrap things up?
Nope. I'll see you soon. It was good to see you this past weekend for 4th of July and in our tournament. Always. So
always. Yeah. Always a pleasure to see you as well. Make sure, again, check out everything on CouchGuysSports.com. Make sure to rate and subscribe to the Legends Lingo podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Anchor, SoundCloud, everywhere where you can subscribe to your podcast and you listen to it. Subscribe to us, please. Programming note, we will not be recording the week of the 28th. Powder will be in Tennessee. I will be in Martha's Vineyard. So we will not be recording that week. So we will miss the last week of July and we will pick it up the first week of August. So that's just a little programming note for the future. But, you know, if nothing else, again, Bruins have their new head coach. Celtics are making moves. And the Red Sox season could be over in a couple weeks. So we'll see what happens. But if nothing else, for episode 178, that is Tom Powder Cadmus. I'm your host, Alan Mahegan. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you next week for episode 179.
Yes, sir.